Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right, welcome to week one of Broken to Breakthrough. It's a four-week relational series, and I'm telling you, man, the last two services, God has just done some great things in this room, and I'm trusting He's going to do it right now for every one of us. I want to strongly encourage every person here to take full advantage of the conference coming up with Les and Leslie Parrott. They have a ministry that's really nationally, even internationally known. We're expecting at least 700 people in the room, and from other churches they'll be coming. So I want to encourage you, please, 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 please invest in your relationships. Now, how many of you are married? Raise your hands. How many of you are maybe possibly considering it at some point in your life? Raise your hands. All right, well, you'll want to be there too. If anybody you know, if anybody you love, this is something you want to invest in, because conflict is unavoidable. I'll say that again. Conflict is unavoidable. And when you have a relationship, you're going to have some conflict. And this whole evening is about how to negotiate, how to deal with conflict in a way that it doesn't destroy your life. It's a tremendous skill that we all need to learn. And whether you're married or not, we'll be focused that evening on marriage. But I can't encourage you enough to come April 27th, Friday night. Make an investment in your lives and in your marriage. And why don't you make the most important part of your life better? Because your life will never, ever be better than where you're at relationally in your life. So let's start the series with a simple question. Why are relationships so stinking hard? I'll try this side because you didn't agree with that. They're hard. They're difficult. And if you're married, if you're friends, if you're a parent, if you're you're a kid that has parents, your siblings, relationships are difficult. But I want to talk to you today about two very deadly assumptions that can obliterate a relationship. And these are two deadly relational assumptions. Now, I want to make a statement that I want you to grasp, because this is true of everything in life. All miscommunication is a result of differing assumptions. All miscommunication is a result of differing assumptions. Miscommunication can just simply be, oh yeah, I didn't quite get that. Or it can usually, and that's a nice way of saying we're yelling at each other and it's an argument. All miscommunication, it's a result of differing assumption. An assumption is what you believe to be true that isn't. And those are deadly in your life. There are two relational assumptions I want to focus on today. Then we're going to end the service in the presence of God. And I'm going to cutting down the time I'm speaking today, because I want you to experience the fullness of God wants to do, what He wants to do in every one of our lives. And so here, this is the key. This is key. You've got to get this. The false assumption of blame. That's the first one we want to look at. The false assumption of blame. And simply it's this: you blame the other person. You're making me feel this way, when in reality, my brokenness is the culprit. Now, I wrote something on my Instagram and Facebook page a few days back that as I was working through this and praying about this and studying. And I would encourage you, go, I don't know if you like an Instagram page or whatever, but follow me or whatever you call it on Instagram. I'd encourage you to do that, and my Facebook page, because I'm always putting things out there to encourage you. But I want to read a statement, or have you actually look at it behind me as I read it, because this is so critical. The roots of most relational conflict were grown long before the fighters ever met. There are roots to some relational conflict that existed before the people in the fight ever met. And if you're blaming somebody for something that pre-existed you, you will never, ever, ever, ever solve the conflict. This is why we sabotage the people and the relationships we value the most. Nobody gets married, nobody has a friendship for it to go south. No one. I've never done a wedding where they looked at each other and said, I do, I do, I do. And then they look at each other and say, 6 months, we'll hate each other. Doesn't happen. But not then it doesn't happen. But 6 months, 6 years, it can happen very easily. But you've got to discover some pre-existing conditions. If you go to a new doctor that doesn't have your medical record, when they start to interview you, the first thing they're going to ask, hey, do you have any pre-existing conditions we need to know about? And you don't hide those from your doctor. because you want them to know. You don't want them to give you a medication that maybe, you know, will contradict or interact poorly with something you're taking. Do you know that almost everybody you'll ever be in a relationship with, in fact, let me just be plain, everyone you will ever be in any relationship with has some pre-existing conditions. And I want to talk to you about, if you don't understand that, you are going to blame the person you're in a relationship with. This is not a marriage series. It will apply to marriage. This is any and all relationships. The more intimate they are, the greater the capacity for conflict that makes you want to punch somebody. Okay, this side is just completely wonderful people. Anybody here ever just had like anger come out of your skin where you're like, if you don't understand that if you're blaming somebody for something they didn't do, even though the actual argument you think is about that, but it isn't, you can never resolve the conflict. And what it results in is you making assumptions about the way that person cares about you. And it is an impossible situation. And I would tell you more times than not, it is this issue that dissolves relationships more than any other thing, is that we don't understand what was behind the situation before we ever met. You've got to learn to scale your anger, your despondency, your whatever, and see if it meets the scale of the actual disagreement. In other words, anger is a healthy emotion. God has anger. Nothing wrong with anger. The Bible tells you, be angry, but don't sin. Anger is normal. It's healthy. Let's scale anger on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being, you ticked me off, 10, I have to go to prison because I killed you, okay? So 1 to 10. If somebody's doing a level 2 offense and they get a level 8 anger out of you, then there's an issue that predates them. Anger is a secondary emotion. People go into their relationship already scaled up to a 4 and 5 in anger or despondency or fear or depression based on things behind them. They're already on a scale of 1 to 10 at a 4 or 5. And so every interaction you have puts weight on that hurting area. And what it results in is the person you're in the relationship with draws conclusions. And those are absolutely deadly. Now, here's what I want you to get. That solving relational conflict is like threading a needle. Now, I'm at the age where threading a needle is very hard. When I was young, I could read the newspaper across the room. And now I have help. And, you know, and so you can do it if you have the right tools, either the eyes or the eyeglasses, and you make sure this, all the frayed edges on the, what's with the frayed edges, right? So I'm going to ask Mike to come out and help us show you what I mean by threading the needle of conflict in a relationship. So Mike, come out here and give me a hand with this. Give Mike a hand as he comes. He's a fine young man. And so I'm going to ask Mike to now, Mike, you can take the needle. Don't pinch yourself, hurt yourself. I don't want to injure you. My wife will be mad at me if I stick you. So just there you go. Okay, now I want you to thread the needle. Go ahead and thread it. Okay, except I want you to go on the trampoline and jump up and down and now thread the needle. Okay, so I want to explain to you. Here's how you thread the needle, Mike. You, right when you're at the point where you're just kind of hanging in the air, you know, like Michael Jordan, just there you go. Okay, now if you were explaining to him how to thread the needle, what would the first instruction you would give him? Get off the trampoline. So let's get off the trampoline. The trampoline is your pre-existing conditions. And you're trying to thread a needle while you're doing this. And it's impossible. But the only thing you can conclude is you don't love me. You don't care about me. And you're blaming them for something they can never fix, which, I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. Your relationship will either always be in distress or it will ultimately end. And so, Mike, thank you very much. Give him a hand as he takes our trampoline away. Because if you don't get that you've got to deal with the roots and not the fruit, you are going to always suffer in your relationship. Let me give you a practical example. Michelle and I have been married in June, will be 30 years. It's amazing. I can't believe it's 30 years. We spent at least the first 7 years of our marriage in constant conflict. Now, we loved each other. We weren't going anywhere, but it wasn't always pleasant. And we didn't know why. We would have conflict and it would finally kind of calm down. And I don't mean like we weren't like, you know, punching things and throwing things and, you know, stabbing each other, but it was not pleasant. And you know, it'd be like, we'd finally, you know, calm. It's like, why do we do this? I don't know. That's not an answer. We just didn't know. Long story short, we eventually get connected to someone who began to help us. And everybody say, go get help. Go get help. You, don't be silly. Don't be foolish. Go get help when you need help. And so if you break your leg and your bone's sticking out, how many of you are going to go get you some help? If you don't, it's just you and me. Come here. It's a hint. Go get some help. Because that rascal ain't healing on its own. And so we began to get some help. And ours was, some of it was pretty textbook. And let me just give you the high point with this. Michelle's dad abandoned her when she was 8 years old. Devastated her life. Her entire teenage years, she never recovered. Never was in an environment because of his abandonment. It just threw the whole family in distress. She had a constant expectation of being rejected. Constantly. So on a scale of 1 to 10, her level of sorrow and pain that she walked with every day was probably a 5 or a 6. Her expectation to be rejected was probably an 8. So it didn't matter what I did. And I did enough stupid stuff. Look, you could exasperate stuff. She laughed because she's like, dear God, he did some stupid stuff. Well, here's the thing. We got married, and 2 months later is her birthday. I said, what do you want for your birthday? She said, nothing. I said, cool. I grew up with 4 brothers, okay? My mother's not a girl. I didn't know. It was just, there were no women. We didn't. So I thought she meant it. I would have meant it. If you asked me and I said nothing, I'd have meant nothing. It came. I didn't get her anything. I could see she was a little bit, not mad, but like just sad. And I go, what's the matter? She said, well, you didn't get me anything for my birthday. I said, you said you didn't want anything. And then she dropped the woman bomb of all bombs. I wanted you to want to get me something. So let's assume she's with somebody who may not be the most sensitive person in the world. So relationships are hard enough. There's going to be real stuff you have to get through with conflict. But now, on the other side of that unhealthy ledger is me, that I can't feel anything. I'm always happy. If the world's on fire, it's a weenie roast. So she feels everything. I feel nothing. Now, that's a special relationship right there. And you know, we never were able to solve any of the conflict because the conflict predated. The roots were growing long before we ever met. So what do you assume at some point? And you just don't care about me like you should. You don't love me. If you love me, I wouldn't feel this way when I'm around you. I want to scream when I'm around you. Make me so mad. In other words, people say, that are not such happy words. You start to attack each other. But you might have started at a level 5 anger before you ever had the conflict. We've got to learn that Jesus desires, God came to the earth to provide freedom for human beings so that what has broken you in your past, these issues, only God can deal with these issues in our lives. When we talk next week about what God's love is, you're going to learn boundaries from it. You're going to learn what only God's love can do and what your love for someone else can never do. If they love me properly, this would change. You're deceived. Only God can liberate a person. He, Psalms 23, restores my soul. Your soul's not your spirit. It's your mind, your will, your emotions. You need God to get into those broken places. No human beings putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. But if you love me, you would love all my pain away. That's a movie. It's a lie. You can't love pain away. God's love through you can, and we can talk about that next week. But by the end of this series, I hope you're going to have some skills, some understanding, and some boundaries in your life. And some of these, 3 or 4 of these things, I'm telling you, light bulbs are going to go on, going to change so much in the way you deal with each other. Luke 4:18, Jesus, the first message he ever spoke, quoting the Old Testament, announcing his purpose, he said this in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, sent me to announce release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered, not trying to get delivered, not managing their mess for 300 years, send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. He came for freedom. Jesus came to make people free. Walking with God is not some religious nonsense. It is a relationship with a living God who bore your sin debt, died, buried, rose from the dead, and offers you freedom in Him. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He wants you free. God wants you to know freedom. You've got to find freedom. That's why we talk about it all the time. Four things. Know God. Find freedom. Discover purpose. Make an impact. You've got to find freedom in your life. Well, how do I do that? Well, it doesn't mystically come. One of the ways it comes is just what we were doing a little while ago, worshiping God and getting in His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, listen to me, there is freedom. There is something that occurs when you interact with the very presence of God that can make whole what 1,000 generations may have broken. God's word in your life and God's people in your life. Listen to me. Your brokenness will never get well in its totality just between you and God. You must experience from other people love and acceptance and care in the middle of the part that hurt you or the thing you're even shameful of. And that's when we'll talk about the power of God's love when we actually live it toward each other. You'll see its power and you'll see its boundaries. Some of you are going to be set free to realize, wait a minute, he or she can't fix me, and I'm not responsible for this. And it changes what you focus on. It's so extremely important. Healthy relationships and your church life were designed by God to create environments of love, support, and acceptance while God is healing our brokenness. Only God can do this. Only God. And as wonderful as going to counseling is, it can help you just manage your mess. And a good counselor is worth their weight in gold. I think good counselors are the best things on the planet. So what I'm about to say, understand the context. I just told you how I feel about that aspect of getting help. I think it's great. But you will never be able to go to a counselor and they talking to you will make you whole. They may teach you how to manage your mess, manage your anger. Jesus doesn't want you to manage stuff. He wants you to be free. You have got to find freedom in your life. You've got to get, one of the primary ways you do that here, get in a small group. Get help. Connect in a marriage small group. We have a small group called Freedom Groups. 13 weeks culminating with a two-day retreat we do right here at the church. A couple thousand people have already gone through it. It's incredible. It helps you find the freedom to live past your past. If you don't let God do that for you, you will be blaming your spouse for things they cannot fix. And that assumption of false blame will destroy your relationship. And it's not just finding freedom, it's bringing freedom to others. Most people are waiting, they're waiting for permission from their lives and their circumstances to make an impact in other people's lives. Well, our marriage is just messed up, or I'm messed up, and I've got to fix this, I've got to get that. No, the Bible said when you water others, you water yourself. You don't just find freedom for yourself as a Christian. You serve others while no matter what you're facing, you're trying to bring freedom to people. So how do I do that? Let me again be very practical. Everybody say it out loud. 2 of 52. Say it again. That I'm asking you, and I'm really asking that this becomes a part of the way you think. There are 52 weekends in a year that you would make, every one of us would make a commitment to find 2 out of 52 that you bring somebody to church with you that is in need of a Savior. 2 out of 52. Everybody can do that. Everybody can do that. I'm going to do it. I ask you to do it. Why? Because it's the only way we can help other people find freedom is to bring them to Christ. Now, you can lead people to Jesus outside of church, but one of the ways I want you to understand how we do this corporately is we are going to make the channel so clear for you to be able to act on this. How many of you remember back at Christmas when I asked you, bring people to the Christmas show, you won't regret it? How many of y'all remember that? How many of you say the Christmas show was worth bringing somebody? Wasn't it incredible? We had 5,500 people the year before, and I said, listen, let's go reach people, and I encourage you, and you brought 12,000 people. That's how many people came. Hundreds of people gave their lives to Christ. Next year, we're going to have 20,000 because we're going to do it over 2 weekends. You say, well, why would you do that? Because then hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people will come to Christ. See, we want to just give you an easy channel to bring people to. So I'm going to give you a simple channel. If Easter Sunday, Satan will be tempted to come to church if you invite him. Okay, but Easter may not work for you. It might be a big family day, and that doesn't work for us. But then the 4 weeks following Easter, we're doing a series called At the Movies. And what we're going to be taking, how many of y'all like movies? We're going to take blockbuster movies, and we are going to literally show you large portions of the movie, and we're going to put, and none of this will be online because of copyright issues, so you got to be here in person. And then we're going to have, in between them, I'm going to be saying some things that are going to set up the room for people to come to know God. It is going to be a blast. It's going to be popcorn. I'm telling you, you say, well, that doesn't sound like church to me. Church isn't some religious goofy thing you do to punch a God ticket. Church is where you experience God and others experience him. Amen. That's what this is about. At the Movies is going to be a blast. Now, before you can agree to bring people with you, you got to come yourself. So number one, be there. Number two, bring some folks with you. It'll be the easiest thing. You invited them to, and I hope I have some credibility with you when I tell you, I promise you, they will be thrilled that you brought them no matter what they believe, because it's going to be a great experience for them. So 2 of 52, every one of us. Now, the second false assumption is the false assumption of expectations. See, we keep on blaming, and then we keep on expecting. And here's the false expectation. If you love me, if you really love me, I wouldn't feel this way. All my pain would go away. Blame and false expectation. False blame, false expectation. They're kind of like twins, brothers and sisters. They go hand in glove. You see, when you expect something and you don't receive it, you only can feel disappointment. If you look behind me, I have a little graph I've made for you to see what I mean by that. Expectation on one side, reality on the other. The distance or the space between what is expected and what is real can only be filled with one emotion, disappointment. So if I'm expecting something of you that you cannot give me, I will guarantee that I will add the emotion of disappointment into your relationship, into your marriage, into your friendship on a continuum. And it will dissolve, it will break down the spirit of that relationship. Because there's enough that we expect of one another that's appropriate that we mess up with. Okay, you all just never agree. I'm going to come over here. Anybody here ever mess up with stuff that you should have done in your marriage? Anybody ever said a big piece of stupid in marriage? Ever have it come out of your mouth and you're saying, come back to me, come back to me? That's the normal kind of expectations. But it's so dangerous. Let me illustrate it this way. We fall in love, or we have a friendship, or even your kids, whatever. I love you. I want a relationship with you. And what we think we have is this beautiful bowl. We have this beautiful relationship. That's what we see on the outside. How many of y'all know when you get in a relationship, particularly if you're dating or getting married, you see, they try to show you the best. Nobody goes out on their first date and says, hey, just let me look ugly and let me stink. I won't take a shower for a month. You ever been to a wedding? People spend a ton of money to look good on their wedding day. A ton of money. They'll spend $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 on a wedding day and won't want to spend a plug nickel on a marriage. I'd suggest you might want, if you're going to blow money on something that's going to go away, if you want to do both, do both. But if you have to pick one, how don't you invest money on having a good relationship instead of just a great day? Because the great day is going to go into the quick memory, and you go on your honeymoon. Oh, I love you. I love you. Because we went to a beach, and it was an island. And it's all inclusive, which means you can eat all day long. It makes men happy. I love you. I love you. Oh, we sleep in. We do other stuff that, people that get married do a lot on their honeymoon. And then we go to the beach. I love you. I love you. I'm hungry. Oh, bring me something to drink. It's a great day. Then you come home from the moon of honey and vinegar came. See, we think when we get into a great relationship, the outside of the person is the same as the inside of the person. We expect that internally they are like we think they are on the outside. And by the way, nobody lies some people lie when they're dating. I understand that. But for the most part, people aren't trying to deceive you. They're just trying to show you the best side. Nobody wants to show their butt. Did I say that in church? Can you say butt in church anymore? Steve Moore said I could say it. So if I said it was offend you, Steve Moore said, Nuzzo, say it, and it's his fault. So Here's the deal. But let me explain this now. I'm going to do something to prevent injury to me and to anybody in the front row except Steve Moore. That wouldn't hurt my feelings. But let me just cover this with this nice little cloth, because what is really going on in most people's lives, at least at some level, is that beautiful bowl that you think is inside and outside is not. And so what you end up with is inside there are pieces that are broken. But if you expect that the outside and the inside are the same, but you don't realize there's some stuff behind that person. Let me illustrate it this way. A while back, precious young couple, just in their 20s, just young people, came and I was getting to meet them, and this wonderful little girl, you could just see her heart broken, man, into a thousand pieces. And the young man, the pain on his face was just, and she's trying to talk to me. And all she can say is, done something horrible. I've done something unforgivable. I've done something so horrible. And finally, you know, I said, well, honey, you know, what did you do? And he's standing there, and she said, I've cheated on my husband. And I'm brokenhearted. I said, well, guys, would you go sit down? And when I'm finished, I'll spend some time with you. So we spent about 20 minutes together. And I was just with him a short time, and I don't have time to explain this, but the Holy Spirit, it's called one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, a word of knowledge. It gives you insight just by the knowledge of the Spirit of God, just a piece. I don't have time to teach that, but it's such a wonderful thing when it happens. We were talking, and I just had a knowing in my heart about her past. So I asked this precious young woman a question. I said, honey, did you grow up with a dad that loved you and one that nurtured you and took care of you and made you feel loved and safe and accepted? Is that the kind of dad you had growing up? And she starts just crying. Well, and I may mess up her story a little bit, but the end of it was basically this. Her dad was an addict her whole life and had recently died of an overdose. And her mom, though a wonderful person, best she could be, enabled that behavior for years. And that's the environment she grew up in. And so here's this young man marries this young girl. And there's an expectation that they're going to have a great marriage. They didn't get married to be in this kind of pain. But he didn't understand, nor did she, that this is what he was getting. And I guarantee you, she was getting some of this too from him. And what ends up happening when you're in pain, see, if the false expectation of, if you will, the false assumption of expectation is present, you have to conclude something at the end of it. And my guess, my gut, and I've been doing this quite a while, she began to determine, you don't love me, or I wouldn't feel this way. And here's the enemy of our soul. He's so wicked. What he does and gives us to medicate our pain actually exasperates it. And so here are these two kids, absolutely brokenhearted, devastated. And they think the issue is the infidelity. And yes, that is very difficult to overcome. It can be overcome, but it is difficult. But the infidelity is an outcome of two people that never intended this to happen. And what I said to them, which I will say to you, is that whether you stay together or not, you're going into the next step of your life just like this. And what was broken here will be broken there. And Jesus didn't come to make you and beat you up. He came to make you whole. I encouraged him. I said, you know, guys, I know this is hard. And these things sometimes, I know they're difficult. But listen, why don't you both let God into this spot and let people into this spot and let God do something great inside your hearts? Because, see, when you think your marriage or your friendships or your children are going to heal your brokenness, you're going to damage those relationships. If it's your marriage, it's like, why don't you love me? If it's your friend, why won't you spend more time with me? Why won't you make me feel better? If it's your kids, you won't even parent properly. You'll be so desperate to make sure your kids aren't mad at you and don't reject you, you will not even parent them effectively. These issues deteriorate the spirit of every relationship in our life. And the answer isn't, well, I just need to find the right person to make me feel better. That person doesn't exist, not here. There is a person who died for you named Jesus that when you receive him into your life will take you on a process where you can find freedom and live in freedom, and then you can fight fair. And then you don't have to live in this sorrow and this pain that brings you to a place in your life that you end up making decisions that you can never recover from or will take great effort to recover from. My prayer today as we close this, as I read one more scripture, the worship team's coming up. They're gonna sing a song about God's love. I don't want you to sing, I want you to listen like God is talking to you. Because there are people all over this room watching online right now that you are in so much relational pain that you feel hopeless. There really is very little things that feel more hopeless than relational hopelessness. And there is a way. But what I would help you to understand, I hope today and through these next 3 weeks, the part of that that is not about the relationship you're in, only God can help. The scripture says this in Psalms 34, verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit. Life can break you and it can crush you. It can leave you like this. The outside people might think it's this, but it's this. And when you give yourself to Christ and you walk with his people and you begin to process those things in your life, something amazing can happen. One last statement, and then we're going to pray, is this. The best time to deal with your issues was 20 years ago. Second best time is right now. See, we should have, we could have, we didn't. Why don't you let God into your world right now at a level where you stop putting up the shields and the lies and the deflection and it's your fault, it's my fault, it's his fault, it's the dog's fault. And let Christ in to make you whole. They're gonna sing here in just a moment. I want you to stay seated. I'll just go ahead and bow your heads. I'm gonna pray for you. No matter where you're at in your life, in your walk with God or not, that you would understand the amazing love of God, that he gives himself in totality to you. And it's only that kind of love that makes a person free. And next week, we're gonna talk about what that kind of love looks like. Please make it a priority to be here. Please. So that your life can reflect the power and the love and the grace of God in every area of your life, particularly in the relational aspect of your life. Let me pray for you and then let these words saturate your heart. And then I'm gonna pray for you and we'll be on our way shortly. But Father, I pray for every person here under the sound of my voice that we would come to know the love that you are toward us. Until we experience your love, not just from you, but also from people, our brokenness can seem permanent. And Lord, it's even a brokenness that we can pass on to our children. And I just pray today that we would just stop in spite of all the conflict and pain and just open our hearts to you. Lord, show them your great love today. Show them the power, the restoring power of your love and kindness and acceptance from you to them and from your people to them. Father, let these words saturate our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Just listen. Whether they're at that level in depths of sorrow or in between, you did not create us to live like this. You did not die on a cross so we would etch and eke our way through life and just go from problem to problem, to unresolved conflict, to bad relationship, to worse relationship, over and over and over again. You did not die so that our lives would be like this. And I pray that by the power of your Spirit, the freedom that comes in Christ would be realized in every person in this room, relationally and otherwise. That we realize you're not a God that just simply wants some dead religious thing in our life, a God that says come to church and punch a silly ticket, but a God who said I will die for you to bring you the freedom that I long for you to have. You don't give your love in pieces. You gave everything you are. You so loved us that you did this. And I pray that every person here under the sound of my voice will come to the realization of a God that loves them. It is only your love and your mercy and your grace when we believe it that will create the healing inside of us so that we can live our lives free from yesterday. And I pray that over every person in this room and under the sound of my voice, as every head remains bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm not asking you if you've been to church or had a sacrament of a church, that's all fine and good, but there is no church or sacrament of any church, including this one, that can give you eternal life. Only by receiving Christ into your heart can you have eternal life. And if you're not sure that you've ever done that, or you know you haven't, or perhaps you've done it years ago or whatever ago, and your heart is so far from God, and you feel like, well, I don't know the way back. You don't make the way back. He made the way back. His love and His mercy and His kindness and His grace are available to you right now. And when you receive Jesus into your life, it's not some dead religious prayer. I'm talking to you about the God of the universe, who said by the power of His Holy Spirit will actually come and live on the inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit, making you brand new, your sin debt canceled, presenting you before God Himself, righteous and clean through Christ. That's what He came to do. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you'd say, please include me in that prayer. I want to know that He's my Savior, and I don't. Please pray for me. In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand, and then we'll all pray the prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. So whether you're here in this room or watching online or watching this later or listening later, don't run from God another moment. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Would you just lift your hand right where you're seated, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I can't see in the risers. That's okay. Don't turn the lights up. But if your hands are raised in the risers, praise God as well. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you or forsake you. And you have steps to take to live in the freedom that He died to provide. What a way to live. Pray it where you hear it. We'll pray it with you. Say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You by Jesus Christ. And I believe with all my heart, Jesus, You are the Son of God. You died for me. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life, and I receive You now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank You for coming. My sin debt is canceled. I now proclaim by faith, You are the Savior and Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give Him a hand. What a great decision you made. Before we leave today, I want to encourage you as our prayer partners come. I said it a while back, there's a level of freedom that you will only receive when you receive it from human beings full of the grace of God. You just don't need to see love and acceptance from God, but you need to receive it from people. As our prayer partners are making their way up here right now, guys, if you'll come right now, at the end of the service, I'm gonna encourage you, if you have any issues in your life relationally, you might be here and you're struggling in your marriage, don't just run out of here. Let God complete in you. Let somebody tell them, say, man, we're just struggling. Let them pray for you. I'm praying that you'll let God, a process start today, that He can make you free. You weren't made to live this way. Any other needs in your life as well, meet with a prayer partner. But this is so important in your life, and I want to encourage you, please take that next step before you leave. Please take that next step. It's so important. Please do that. And I want to pray for you. And then before we close in prayer, I want to remind you, the Waymaker School of Ministry is launching this fall. It's online now. Applications are being received. Sean Moore, who is kind of leading that entire process, bringing all the information and helping us make these decisions. Sean is going to be over right over here, not this section, but the one right behind it. It'll happen 3 minutes after I say amen. Sean, if you have any questions about it, if you feel like you're a person called to vocational ministry, you want to go over there and talk to Sean, please do that. Maybe you know somebody who is, and you want some information, if you'll just take a moment and go over there. Michelle and I will be out in the Connection Center, so if we've never had the chance to meet you personally, please stop by and say hello. We have a gift for you. It's just an opportunity for us to personally thank you for coming and meet you. So thanks so much. Let's pray together over our relationships. We'll dismiss in prayer, and let's just trust God that in these next 3 weeks, the Holy Spirit will do so much in our hearts that our relationships will be actually reflecting the way God wants them to be and living the life He's called us to live. Father, I pray for every person here. As we go our way today, we trust You. And I pray for courage to come into hearts that are broken. That as we leave this place, we trust You, that only You can put things back together in whatever area of our life that we think are irreparable. Nothing is impossible with You. So we go our way trusting You, loving You, gladly serving You because You are good and good alone. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.